Okay, we are we're up to the second Tosos, but it's really a very parallel continuation of our earlier discussion, where we have Al-Hakutis, Al-Hakutis, Pairs Bekuntris, the Kusavar Kutim Gevra Rising. We all know that there is a fundamental machlokes Tanoim all over Shas, whether the Kutim are Gevra Emes or Gevra Arayas, whether they truly accepted the Torah, or they only, you know, wanted to, bribe God a little to get rid of the lions, but they weren't really committed to the exclusive worship of Hashem. Okay, this is a bit of a chloks b'shonim. The simple pshat is whether originally, whether they're, it says that they worship Hashem and a little Avodah Zarah. So you can say whether they really were Makabal Hashem and then backslid a little, or whether they really were just Makabal some sort of shutfus, that they throw a bone to the Israeli God but not really commit themselves to him, and then they were Gerei Arayis. So it's a dip.
Someone's a ger and they backslide, they're still a ger.
Yeah, that's Gerei Emes, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So Tosa's a different shot. He says, no, everyone agrees originally they didn't really convert. The machlok is just whether later they became stark or not. But either way, Lamai said there's a machlok is all over Shas with the Gerei Emes, meaning 100% kosher for kosher, Gerims, just as good as anyone else, or Gerei Arayis. So he quotes Rashi here, Pirish Mandra de Gasavar Kutum Gerei Arayis saying, Yeshem Alav, Delo Siskatin, that what's the Isser of Kutum? The Isser is that they're Gerei Arayis, and there's a Lav of Lo Siskatin Ba. And what's Tosa's problem, of course? V'zehu, okay, l'fik, shitasu, shitasu, d'agmei, korba, erl, d'v'nafrusan, is, l'hu, is, or chastas. Say, this is Rashi, l'shitasu, a little, this is Rashi, l'shitasu, a little earlier, who says that los eschatin bum is referring to when they are still, is referring to when they are goyim. Okay, so Rashi says basically the way Tosfos understands Rashi, what is the problem with the kutit? So one is Rashi says, all Rashi says is lo sischatin bam, right? That's the lav. Nesina is David, and kus is lo sischatin bam. The way Tosfos understands Rashi, what else does Rashi says? Rashi says Gabriel Arayis hain and lo sischatin bam, because Gerei Arayis hain. So the way Tosfos understands Rashi, which the Pashup Shana Rashi, is that they're Goyim. Gerei Arayis means they're Goyim. In many sugyas and shas, we see that's very clear, or at least that's what it seems to be saying. So he says, Kutim are Goyim, and that's why there's a lot of Los Eschatin Bam. Los Eschatin Bam implies when they are, going. Tosus's problem is, what's the problem? The problem is, since when does a goy get a knas? Right? So that's what Tosus says right here. Tosus says, Dinkin, what is chomi? What is chomi? Ain't the knas? Partner, kama, yavin, lo knas, lo azul, 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 so he says, Tosfos has a couple of problems. His first problem is that, since when does a guy get a knas? He says in the first paragraph, he's talking about a girl who's converted as a baby. The whole question is whether she can still go back to being a guy or not. So it says, how can we give her a knas if she's going to go back to being a guy? Maybe she'll end up having the knas of being a guy. And the whole machlokes is buying rubber there, whether it's kosher this or not, but it seems posher that a guy doesn't get a knas. Question is, what if someone might end up being a guy? Then would we be choshesh that maybe, what if they end up being a guy? But if someone's a pashat guy, it seems pashat. Who ever heard of a knas for a guy? So that's Tosfos' first problem. Okay, Tosfos' second problem is, what are the questions? A, that there's no knas for a nachris. B, it's against the Gemara in Bava Kamma, right? He points out the Gemara in Bava Kamma brings him a chlokes tanoim, and then he says, "Oh, the where was this? Oh, the Gemara must milk mishis grab mayor for a mayor isli to gary emes hain. The avgil the kulas is loasi grab mayor the habito amar big mar loasi kulas no mag bahasa the gary emes hain is the kulas hain the habishor shenag dal vehain maskina the shorish all shenag ishor shall kuti patim shem the knasu the kanes for mayor from amono avgav the minadin chayv the gary emes hain perch masnis the hacha. Right, so he says the. Rav Meir says, Kutim are real gerim, but they don't get money for damages of a shor because of a knas. Ah, the kutzi yesh l'knas, we see that they do get their money. V'yisagdai the knas is a kanas. Different means of knas. They get the knas in order to profit. But if you say Rabbanim in the knas, to take away their monetary privileges. Rav Meir, Mamonu, Afgad, Medin Chai, Begiri, Emesim, part of, the Gemara Bava Kamma assumes that our Mishnah is according to our mayor of Geri Emesheim. Right? So he says the Gemara in Bava Kamma assumes our Mishnah is Kimanda Omar Geri Emesheim. And his third kasha is from the Yerushalmi someplace. Tosfos doesn't point out, but the Rishonim will point out that in the Yerushalmi they establish it's mefurish in Yerushalmi that a goya doesn't have a knas, right? So that's no knas for a nachri. And the later Rishonim point out it's mefurish in our Yerushalmi. What does our Yerushalmi say? Our Yerushalmi said the shifcha and a goya can't have a knas. It says losiya leisha only nyesh lahavaya b'makom acher. Only a woman who could get married. Losiya leisha doesn't have to be a woman who I'm allowed to marry. It has to be a woman who can get married to someone. So this is mefurish in the Yerushalmi she'ein knas le nachris. Okay, so those are the two main questions. How can a goy get a knas? It's against the Gemara in and it's against the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Okay. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, the Meiri already defends Rashi. Right? So the Meiri already defends Rashi, and the Meiri says, Sugyot Menchalfot, meaning there are different sugyas that have different understandings. Not every sugya in Shas has the same shita. The Gemara in Bava Kamma held that our Mishnah was Mandam Giri MS, but our Gemara could still hold that it is. Man never gave her a raya, so you can't prove anything to the Gemara in Bava Kamma. That's what the Gemara in Bava Kamma held. Our Gemara might hold differently. Okay, that wasn't such a strong kasha. So one sugya held that our Gemara is man never gave her emes, but we could still say that we hold our Gemara. We could also work out a Gemara according to man never gave her a raya. This is the most difficult question, which is, what about the fact that there's no knas for a nachris? So before we defend Rashi, let us figure out what Tosfos says. What does Tosfos say? Very, very poshut. And almost all the Rishonim, Tosfos and all the Rishonim Sfarad. What does Tosfos say? The Ramban. And, you know, all the Talmidim of the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, the, what does Tosfos Rid say on the side here? Tosfos Rid says on the side here, Bakutit Kasavar Giri Emesheim. The Tosfos Rid says the same thing. They all say that it is Manda Omar Geri Emesheim. Akutit is a full Jew, and that's why she gets a knas. Okay, but the one little detail that Tosfos then has to explain, if Kutim, our Gemara is Geri Emesheim, they're a real full regular Geri. So Tosfos then asks on himself, read out. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? If they're regular geirim, did anyone have to tell you if an Italian lady converts that she gets a knas? Anyone have to tell you if a New Zealander converts they have to get a knas? So what's the chiddush of the kutim? So okay, Tosfos asked this question on himself and says, the imtar came by kamashlan, isn't it pshita? And the answer is right. So then just a. So what is the Havamina not to pay knas. So Tosfos has a very straightforward, reasonable answer. Tosfos says that havamina. What's Tosfos lashon I just read? In shelo yitamu behen. Shemid rabbanan potter shelo yitamu behen. Meaning, even though they were full geirim, they still were not so from. They weren't properly on the derech. Right in the later generations, we see even before in the very late generations, the end of the time of Tanaim, they kicked them out of Judaism entirely. So even before that, they kept some things, not other things. They were shtickle reform. And therefore, maybe it's a havmina that even though they deserve a knas in their full geirim, midrabbanan, they took away their knas so that we wouldn't treat them as part of our society and we would stay away from them. Okay, that's a havmina. Tosfos Yeshanim on the side here. Tosfos Bava Kamma says this also. The Tosfos Yeshanim says, no, maybe havmina geirei arayus. Maybe that's gufa the kamashul on the Mishnah. You might have thought they weren't real geirim. Kamashul, they are real geirim. And the Ramban and the Rashba say here that I guess really the same thing. They say like Tosos. Okay, those are the two main answers. Yeah, 1 second. No, that's going to be a little later. That's a havmina to pay. No, that's a havmina to pay, not a havmina to be putter. Right?
No, that's why you pay, because you can use the same thing here. You make him pay, midrabbanan, you make him pay, because after all, he shouldn't have done it.
But that's not what we're trying to explain. We're trying to explain why you would have thought not to pay, not why you do pay. In the Tosfos Rosh and Ramban here mentioned one other answer. The Tosfos Rosh says, and it's also in Ramban, says that Havamina, Mamzerim, because they have a lot of Mamzerim, that's a machlokus in Kiddushin. There's one Madarma Rulezer in Kiddushin that says they have Tarul's Mamzerim, they have a lot of Mamzerim with them. In which case, we understand why you put Kuptis, because since they have Mamzerim, you're not allowed to marry them. And then it's the same as Mamzerim seen everything else. You might have put whoever you're not allowed to marry doesn't get a Knas. Kamash, well, they do get a Knas. Right? So it's because of the Mandarma that they have Mamzerim, and it's usher to marry them. And then, like the Gemara says later on, what's the Kamash in our Mishnah? All the people, even though it's usher to marry, still get a Knas. Okay, we'll see why that's important.
Wouldn't
have been included Mamzerim? What? Wouldn't have been included Mamzerim? No, this Mamzer Badai and Taro, Mamzerim. Okay. So those are three answers, either because they're usher to marry because mamzerus, or they're mutter to marry, but we might have thought we differentiated them so that we don't learn from their ways, or that we might have thought they weren't geirim, but they are geirim.
Maybe lo yitamu ben is really a variation, or mamzerim is a variation of lo yitamu.
Okay, but one seems to be more, hashkafic, and one seems to be more technical. Like the Gemara there says, mamzerus, technical mamzerus, because there were certainly certain that they didn't keep about the arayas, which led to doing inappropriate things. Yes? But you have to tell us, right? Because that's on Chavtez Meis. You might have thought whoever you're not allowed to marry doesn't get a knas, because it says, lo siya le'isha. So, kamash malon.
I already know that Bada Mamzer, you're
okay, but that's true of the whole Mishnah, right? The whole Mishnah lists Achos Ishto and Ishus Achiv, Ishachi Achiv. So, it's okay for the Mishnah to list many cases of Isser. That's apparently okay. Misham Sheish Bamzerim, and it's like Bamzerim. Why do you have to say Bamzerim twice? Okay, because we say all the different Isserim. That doesn't bother me so much. Now, this is, Tosfos is pretty straightforward. Let's get back to Rashi, which is more interesting. Watch Shana Rashi, who ever heard of a knas for a non-Jewish girl? Doesn't seem to make any sense. So, there's two ways to go in Rashi here. I put here here we are, a Sam Sofer, I think. I put it in the back here, yeah. So one direction to go, one direction to go within Rashi is, like the Sam Sofer, and he's not the only one. The Yamshel Shlomo says similarly here. There are different answers. These are the mainstream answers. The Sam Sofer, the Yamshel Shlomo, which the Yamshel Shlomo says the same thing. They say that that is not Jewish. But gets a knas anyway. Ah, Tosas quoted the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph, and Abaye and Rava says, it's clear that someone's not Jewish wouldn't get a knas. So they say, no, you misunderstood that Gemara. That Gemara didn't mean that whoever is halachically not Jewish doesn't get a knas. That Gemara meant, what did that Gemara mean? That whoever? Is Omer Avodah Zarah acts non-Jewish legamre. Not acts, not perfect. But whoever goes to church, doesn't get a knas. Meaning if someone mamish has a lifestyle of Avodah Zarah, they don't get a knas. That's what the Gemara there was debating. That a girl who mamish will go to church and be a total goy and have a goyish lifestyle, then Abaye and Rava argue, you know, for sure wouldn't give her a knas. But what if she might end up in church? So then there's a machlok to Abaye and Rava. But the kutim, even if they're halachically goyim, because they're gerei rayas, but they don't worship Avodah Zarah. They still keep, they probably keep the Shem Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, right? They don't keep everything exactly correctly. They don't know every halacha properly. But they still, they lead a Jewish lifestyle. They don't worship Avodah Zarah.
Well,
right?
Well, they're in Shitfus though.
What?
But they're in Shitfus.
No, no, but nowadays they stop that. By the time of Chazal, they weren't worshiping idols anymore. Basically, the history of the Kutim is, in the time of the Tanakh, they converted but worshiped the idols, and that's what led to the Machlokes of the Geri Emetz of Yerubayos. By the time of the early Tanaim, they were just worshiping Hashem, but they didn't keep all the halachos. In the end of the time of Tanaim, they discovered that maybe they started worshiping idols again, and then they kicked them out of Judaism, which is not what the Mishnayos are talking about. The Mishnayos are talking about after the time of Tanakh, before the time of the latest Tanaim, when they were from Jews who just kept some mitzvahs and didn't keep all the mitzvahs very well. So they didn't worship Avodah Zarah.
It's a very difficult reading of the Gemara Yud Aleph and the Shach Vitaria there, right? Because then the Kasha on Yosef, I think it was, that says he godly mimchi is not such a strong Kasha at all.
Why? Godly mimchi and she'll go to church.
Yeah, but just meaning the Kasha is from the fact that the Mishnah says she gets a ksuba and the fact that the Mishnah says she gets a knas. But all you have to say in those cases is that we're talking about a stam non-Jew, like a stam yogres bas papas mishlosha shanim, who just decides not to accept the conversion. Who says she's being a widow of the Zara?
No.
I mean, they're only asking the kasha based on her kimta.
So no, okay, no, but the, no, because it's not based on her kimta, it's based on the possibility. I mean, it's not an ukimta. There's a possibility that she'll decline the geirus and go to church.
And
that's not an ukimta. Every 11-year-old girl, there's a possibility that when she's 12, she'll decide, I want to be Zoroastrian.
So she gets her ksuba slash knas, and the for all the girls who run the possibility, they don't go.
Okay, that's part of the Machlokes by Rava and Chanami. I agree, but it's possible. So that's the Chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. The Chiddush is, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that the Gemara in, what was it, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, only meant that a girl who, what's the Lashon of Chasam Sofer? Acharash, etc. Rakshid the Oved Avodah Zarah. Right. Who is Ovedis Avodah Zarah? Doesn't get a knas. But a Nachris with a Jewish lifestyle, again, I'm not saying the frumest lifestyle, because the Kutim kept some mitzvahs well and didn't keep other mitzvahs. But still a Jewish lifestyle. They don't go to church. They don't have idols. They go to shul and they dive into a sham and they say Kriya Shema. Some mitzvahs they neglect. Okay. So there have been Jewish communities over the years who've neglected some mitzvahs, but it's a Jewish lifestyle. With a Jewish lifestyle gets a knas. That's the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer and the Yamshel Shlomo based on Tosfos understanding of Rashi. That Taka, she's a Goya, And she gets a knas anyway. Taka de goya, the Isser Losses got them by intermarriage, but she gets a knas anyway. Who ever heard of a goy getting a knas? The answer is, it depends what kind of goy. A goy who has a Fokzara lifestyle doesn't get a knas. A goy who worships Hashem should get a knas. Mehechi Tesi, this is a tremendous chiddush, by the way. And tremendous chiddush, and clearly against the Yerushalmi. Clearly against the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi holds that anyone who doesn't have kiddushin doesn't get a knas. And you'd have to say that the Bavli doesn't agree with the drasha of the Yerushalmi. Again, the Yerushalmi darshins will see Eli Isha, someone who has Havayu Isha, someone who has kiddushin. No, even someone doesn't have kiddushin. As long as they don't worship Avodah Zarah, they get a knas. That's possible. Never says otherwise in the Bavli. The interesting chiluk, the chiddush of the Chassam Sofer, is the way the Yamshel Shlomo says. I'm sorry, I didn't put it on the page. Why does a goya get a knas? So, based on the Gemara early in Daf Yud Aleph, why might we suggest a goya gets a knas? Here, well, let's just see the two different formulations. The Yamshel Shlomo is less radical. Says the Yamshel Shlomo, he says that Mida Oraisa a Nachris doesn't get a Knas, but Mida Rabbanan she gets if she has a Jewish lifestyle. Why? What's the principle? Someone give me a phrase from the Abayin Rava earlier. Why would Midrash Rabbanan they give a Goya Knas? Since when Midrash Rabbanan they just give Goya free money? Shalei Echotei Niskar. Shalei Echotei Niskar, right? He should laugh all the way to the bank. Right? He says, look at me. So I was bowling uppers and I did whatever I want and I don't have to pay. So therefore, because of Shalo Yehei Chotei Niskar. However, the Chassam Sofer himself is more radical. Says the Chassam Sofer, look at his Lashon, it's based on the Rush. If you might have looked up this Rush. If you look up the Rush he quotes, it's not so mafurish like he says. But he says, I'll read you the line. Muchach midvar b'sfirolei b'gam goya islaknas midina. Midina means not sheza takanish lekhanis. Midoraisa, says the Chassam Sofer. He's basing himself on a Rush, but if you look up the Rush, not unfortunate Rush. Says shot his diuk in the Rush. He says no. Mida Oraisa a Nachris gets Knas. This is a very radical shita. We would think that all these it's in Kiseitze right here. All these parsha in Kiseitze are talking about inter Jewish relations. Are not talking about Goyim, but some would say no. Who says? After all, sometimes there's words to exclude Goyim, right? Bnei Yisrael somchin, ve'inu bnei kachom somchin. Sometimes there's words, re'ehu, below over here, there's no word to exclude Goyim. I don't think Shalmi thinks there is. They'll say, yes, someone has Kiddushin, not Goyim, we don't have Kiddushin. But if we don't agree with the Drush of Yerushalmi, then says the Chassam Sofer, look, what does it say? It says, you have a Nara, who's not Mu'ureses, who's a Basula. So who says the Jewish Nara, that's a Goyish Nara, can also be a Basula. She can also be not Mureses. Matter of fact, she's always not Mureses.
Isn't
so,
that a Chazaka that she's
Be'ula? Aha, that's a good question. Isn't it clear from the next line in the Mishnah that there's a Chazaka of Be'ula that all Nachrios are considered Cheskes Be'ulos? So he would say, no, that's not metaphysical about every Nachris. Nothing metaphysical that every Nachris is considered Be'ula. You could have said, oh, metaphysical would be a bit of a stretch, perhaps. But you could have said, no, what it means is that every Nachris who doesn't have an Isser of Znus is considered to be a Ba'ula, because anyone who doesn't have a prohibition that makes them a Basula is considered a Ba'ula. But he says, no. He says, no, that means the Nachrios who were Old Avodah Zarah, the pagans who had Goyish lifestyles, they're not considered a Basula, because in their lifestyle that wasn't a value in their society. But the Kutim, who were Jewish, that they didn't worship idols by the time of Chazal, and that they went to shul instead of church, and were Jewish, they kept the Chagim, and they kept Shabbos, and whatever, and they were also Jewish, in that their lifestyle, they knew that it was usher to dusnus, and therefore, even though technically they're goyim, since sociologically they still kept the Jewish standards of kedusha, they can still have a shame basula. That's the other kiddush. Not only does a knas apply to goyim, but even this whole difference that we consider goy to not be basula, that's based on their sociological state of their community. That's not something fundamental halachically to being a goy. Okay, that's what some sofer has to say.
And Tosafot also mentions that kusim are mishuma are basula, they're mishuma.
Right. Right, so that's not as mechonish. Okay.
Since finally makes it chalukim, Chazal makes it chalukim.
They did according to Rashi. Okay, now they did. According to this derech. That's one derech within, that's one derech within Rashi. Okay. But, however, there's another derech, as we know, within Rashi as well. This is all one derech within Rashi. However, there's another derech within Rashi, which is based on the Rashi in Yevamos Daf Chaf Dalet. There's a fascinating discussion in the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Chaf Dalet. This is very Nogi Elamaisa for contemporary halacha. They have a whole discussion there of Ish and Iskari L'Shem Isha, Ve'ish and Iskari L'Shem Ish, and Iskari L'Shem Shulcham Alachim, L'Shem Abdi Shlomo. What if someone was Begayer Shalol L'Shema? To a man to marry a woman, a woman to marry a man, like happens Maisa L'Yom nowadays. Or for royalty, they want to join the king's court, or Abdi Shlomo. No, but for social reasons, they are Begayer. Einam Geirim Divrei Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya says they're not Geirim. He says, Gabriel Arias and your Halomos and your Mordechai Esther are not Gabriel Arias' garden, not as that. That if someone is in the garden because they had a dream or because they were afraid of Mordechai Esther in those days or because they're afraid of lions, they're not Gabriel unless they're Megayer Lishma. But not as that means like when there's no advantage. He says, Gabriel has to be Lishma. That is Rabbi Nechemya. According to Rabbi Nechemya, we're in big trouble nowadays. Right? Kick out 90% of the Gabriel. Alright, I don't know. 80%, whatever it works out. I know plenty of Geirim who are Megayer not to marry anyone, just because they want to keep the Torah. But still, you go nowadays, you find a lot of people who are Megayer for a man or a woman. That is Reb Nechemya. But, Amr Yisra Shmuel Marta Bishmei Rav, Halacha Nevi Amr Kulam Geirim Him. No, they're all, we Paskin, they're all Geirim. Halacha Kulam Geirim Him. We Paskin, they're all Geirim. So now we have a little bit of a problem. What's the problem? Ish l'shem isha, isha l'shem ish, we paskin kulam geirim, that's takya we paskin. Even if someone converted, meaning, is that the ideal way to convert? No. You know, maybe sometimes we should encourage you, sometimes we shouldn't, you have to look at the circumstances. But, al pidin, if someone converts only to marry a Jew, then they're a geir. L'chachila maybe, they shouldn't have gotten involved in the first place, those two people. But b'di'evan, they're a ger. If someone converts for Shulcha Malachim, for Avdei Shlomo, they convert only for social benefit, then they are a ger. Okay, but what's funny here that Tosafot already points out is Geiri Arayos. Hold on. When the Chemi says Geiri Arayos are not Gerim, Halacha Kulam, what does Kulam mean? Ish, Isha, Shulcha Malachim, Avdei Shlomo, and Geiri Arayos. We Paskin, Geiri Arayos are Gerim. So hold on a second. If Geiri Arayos are Gerim, that's the whole thing. Gabriel Emes are Gerim. Gabriel Arias aren't Gerim. Half we Paskin Gabriel Arias are Gerim. Then there's no difference in Gabriel Arias and Gabriel Emes. So Tosas asks this Kashir. Half Gabriel Arias answers, Lo dami lahad de ikaman number kutin Gabriel Arias saying, The hasama you owe them Elohehem, Sliva say from Elohim. What does Tosas say? Here we have, let's just make ourselves a little box. The Gemara in Yevamos Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Yevamos Chaf Dalet Amud Beis says Halacha Geiri Arayos Geirim Heim. Right? All of them, even Geiri Arayos are Geirim. Now hold on, if Geiri Arayos are Geirim, why is there machlokas about Kutim? So says Tosfos. Tosfos says this is a different Geiri Arayos than the one we find by Kutin. Now, the Kutin Gabriel Arayos are not Gabriel. This is a different kind of Gabriel Arayos. What's the difference between two Gabriel Arayos? So Tosa says that these really accept the Torah because of Arayos. This sugya is talking about lions attack people, and they were told that if they want to be protected from the lions, they have to worship God, the true God of the Israelites, and they accept it. They say, you know what? Really, I'm a Kabbalah at 100%. I'm going to stick to God from now on because only He can protect me from the lions, and all the other idols can't protect me from the lions. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. But the Baikutim they also worshipped Avodah Zarah. That is Tosfos' shot. There's two kinds of Geir Arayos. Our Gemara means the incentive was Arayos, but the Geirus was a real Geirus, and that's why it's Geirus. But by Kutin, the Mandar Geir Arayos means not just the incentive was Arayos, even the Geirus was only for Arayos. We'll worship God until the lions go away, and then we'll worship our idols again. Then, if the lions come back, we'll worship God until the lions go away, meaning they only accepted a partial, they only accepted to worship God as long as they needed to protect themselves from the lions. So therefore, this sugi basically means this sugi nifamus doesn't affect us at all, which makes sense, because these Geri Arayos are Jews, and these Geri Arayos are Goyim. That's what Tosfos most Rishonim hold. However, Rashi there, the Achronim point out, Rashi there is the maftaf to Rashi here. Rashi there explains Rashi here different than the Tzam Sofer. Rashi there says something very innocent sounding. Geri Arayos kigon kutim, etc., etc. He says, hold on, Geri Arayos are the kutim. Now, hold on a second. What do we do with Rashi here? Rashi says that it's the same as Manda Omar kutim Geri Arayos hang. No, it's the same. They're talking about the Kutim Geri Arayos. Now it's a problem. Hold up. The Manda were Kutim Geri Arayos just said they were Goyim. But in Yevamos, we paskin halacha that Geri Arayos are Jews. So if Geri Arayos are valid Jews, then what's the difference between Geri Arayos and Geri Emes? I understand the difference in terms of whether we'll give them after Yonah. You know, but halachically, what's the difference between Geri Arayos also Geri? So why is there a machlokas and with the Kutim are Geri Arayos, Geri Emes? So for Rashi, that creates a problem. The problem is that then Geri Arayos is the same as Geri Emes. So what is the answer? So the Rav said this for Rashi. All the Achronim say this for Rashi. And basically, the Meiri here said it. He didn't say he's saying it for Rashi. But what do you have to answer? And the Raivit started that way, so last time. So it's like Geri Arayos, but then he abandoned a little and never got back to Geri Arayos. So maybe that's what he had in mind. What you have to say, Lechora, is exactly what we said last time, that God didn't argue with me, is that Geri Emes means total Jews. Right? Geri Arayos are also Jewish, but they're not total Jews, because then they'd be Geri Emes. So what do you have to say for Rashi? The answer is that Rashi holds Geri Arayos are partial Gerim. That's what it must be. You can't say Geri Arayos are not Gerim, because halacha, they're Gerim. But you can't say Geri Arayos are total Gerim, because then it's the same as Geri Emes. It's still a sheet of Geri Arayos. So it must be that Geri Arayos are partial Gerim. What do we see? That Gera Shalol Lishma, and that's an interesting question. Every level of Shalol Lishma is the same. Maybe this was like a... Well, okay, we'll come back in a second. Rashi's Geri Arayos are only partial Gerim. And now, we can take that back and say, Rashi, Lefi Dvara, Biyavamos, Dav Chavdalad Amud Beis, and it's also the Shita of the Meiri, and there's also, I didn't give it to you, on the Makoros, but there's a Yad Varan Sanhedrin and Aleph from an Aleph, who says the same exact thing. The Yad Varan in Sanhedrin and an Aleph from an Aleph says all the same thing. Says Geri Arayos, that's, again, it would be a Chiddush if we weren't here on Thursday, Geri Arayos are neither full Jews nor full Goyim. Geri Arayos is a partial Geirus. It's a Geirus to be chayiv in mitzvos. It's enough of a Geirus that they're chayiv in mitzvos, but not enough of a Geirus that they're mutter lovo b'kahal. It's a Geirus being chayiv in mitzvos, but they're still not allowed to be baba kahal. They're still not allowed to marry to the Jewish people. What iser prevents you from marrying to the Jewish people? Los eschatin bump. So it's b'chayiv in 613 mitzvos, but it's not enough to take away los eschatin bump because it's a low-level Geirus. And that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that Geri Arayos are Jewish. There's no knas for a guy. But Geri Arayos are Jewish. But it's good enough to take b'chayiv in mitzvos to give them the responsibilities. But in terms of the privilege of Baba Kahal, but it's not a good enough Geirus to lehatira lovo b'kahal, and therefore still have iser of los eschatin bam. That's the Chiddush of Rashi. They still have the iser of los eschatin bam. They're Jewish, but they still have the iser of los eschatin bam because they're only partially Jewish enough, behind the mitzvos, but not Jewish enough to be matter them love of b'kahal. Yishai.
So the ma'aser, who decides this? Rav Drachman or the Rabbanan or the Rabbanut? I mean, who decides what level of lishma
Okay, that is an excellent question. And you know, there's a pitgam. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Go back to Shas. All over Shas, you have Tandam and Avraham arguing, are the Kutin Geri Emesh, are the Kutin Arayos, just like now, they argue in those days also. Some things never change. This was, apparently, there was either some machlokas historically where they were at different points, or machlokas how to evaluate their sincerity. And, well, we'll get back to that point in half a second, just. And that was the basis of the machlokas as to whether they're Geri Emes or Geri Arayos. So, just like Machlokes, that's not the answer. In the end, we have three sheets about Kutim. There is, Geri Emes, Geri Arayos is a Machlokes Tanan. There's Tosos and Rishonim Sfar to say our mission is Mandamer Geri Emes. They have Gemara Bava Kama to support them. There is Rashi who says our mission is Geri Arayos, but there are two ways to go within Rashi. The way that some of the Akronim go based on Tosos' assumptions are that Geri Arayos means Goyim. They didn't make a big deal of Rashi and Yavamas. They didn't put two and two together here. Geri Arayos means Goyim, and a Goyim has a Knas. That's the Chiddush of Rashi. But you can say, no, based on Rashi and Yavamas, the Chiddush and the Goyim is a Knas. Chiddush Geri Arayos are neither full Goyim nor full Jews, but rather they're somewhere in between. Let me just bring two Arayos to this, and then one Kasha. Rashi and Irvin of Samach Aleph on Medbeis, what does he say about Mandamer Geri Arayos? This is another proof. And by the way, that's what the Avramah says. What does the Avramah say? The Avramah says, Kutim Mandamer Geri Arayos are chayiv in mitzvos, and they have kedushin, but there's still an issue of los eschatin bam. Meaning they're Jewish, there's tfisas kedushin, there's chayiv mitzvos, but there's still an issue of los eschatin bam. That's exactly what we're saying for Rashi here. They're Jewish for mitzvos, there's tfisas kedushin, there's knas, but there's still los eschatin bam, and that's Rashi's lashon, I think, works well in Irvin Samach Aleph Amud Beis. What is Rashi in Irvin? In the Mandamer, you have to work it out, but you'll see that it's the Mandamer Geri Arayos. He says Geri Arayos means Einam Gerim Gemurim. Einam Gerim Gemurim. It's not that Geri Arayos means they're Goyim. No, they're just not Gerim Gemurim, they're partial Gerim. And there's such thing as a partial Gerus. That's enough to make you Jewish, but not enough to make you mutter lovo b'kahal. Similar to what we said last time.
Wouldn't that allow to tell you that they're like goyim though by Irvin?
But even tzedukim are like goyim for Irvin, because for Irvin, whoever doesn't accept the rules of Irv is like a goyim, even if their yichus is perfect.
You were saying they're chayim and mitzvos, but they're like, but they have an issue of tzedukim. So I would think that they might be still in
here. Okay, you would, but if you look in One second. I see what you're saying. Hold on. That is a good question. I hear your Tanya. Let's think of them for a second. Why Davka? So I think what you might have to say in the end is, Elsen is asking, but in Erevin, forget about the Losha Rashi in the remove. Take the context. The context is that even the Mandarbar who says our reform Tzeduki is Shayat and Erev, Akuki's not Shayat and Erev. So if he's Jewish for being Chayav in Losasek HaMalacha, why shouldn't he be Shayat in Erev? So the answer might be, you could say in a Pasha, in a Stam way or a fancy way. The Stam answer might be, once he has the status of a partial Jew and the Chachamim came and made their Takana of Erevin, they made their Takana to exclude them. The fancier way might be, if part of Erev, the whole part of Erev is Dafka being together, right? The whole Takana of Erev is that we're together in the food, they're all one big family, that if they're not permitted in the Kahal, Dafka, they have to be excluded from Erev because they're not part of our one big family. That might be the fancier answer.
This Loti Chatein one, is that the Rabbanan?
No, Midoraisa.
If it's the Raisa, we had the case with the Kanas of David, having to force them into, he made them Abadim, and then once they're Abadim, they became a Deraisa Loti. But here, how does it come?
Because they never converted properly in the first place. In the first place, they only did a partial conversion. Because that's what it says, that they were only because of the Arayus. Now, I'll just point out for one second that the Rashi in Sanhedrin doesn't work so well for this. Rashi in Sanhedrin says that Geir Arayus is Ove Kom Gemurim. He says like the other Derech. So Rashi in Sanhedrin does not fit this pattern. But if you look in the Rashi in Sanhedrin, you see that's only in a Havamina. So it could be that he was explaining that Havamina like Reb Nehemiah in Yevamos. Then the Havamina is like Reb Nehemiah who says that Geir Arayus are puzzled. But that Rashi is not talking about Halakha L'maisa. That Rashi is only talking about Havamina, so I think we can get away with it. I'll just...
Rashi here says that it's the vote is Chachim. Doesn't he say in that it's all Rabbani here?
No, that was by Nesina, not by Kutzim. Okay,
sorry.
Yeah.
I remember listening to what he learned of Yudalev. To vote there, Rashi, talking about the Gerakot, Shemadili Motal, that's basically... So Joseph has this whole tasha of the chiyos, achanimi matrim, with the Baal Kisrael, when the chiyos only in Rabbanon. The Rabbanon was Midayik that Rashi said only the ein yeino yain nesach. So Rashi didn't accept the premise of Tosfos that he could be mutar b'Baal Kisrael. And Rabbanon, I don't remember correctly, but Rabbanon seemed to say that he's yotzo michlal goyim, but I don't know Nichnasti Kedushas Yisrael. I thought of a different kind of partial.
That's your Shitase from last time.
Yes,
we call Goyim one Nichnasti Kedushas Yisrael.
Okay, well, we're talking Yudalev. I remember that Rosenstein said that.
Okay, that is interesting, and that might be a parallel to here as well. I'll just end with something else from Lichtin said, but I'm not 100% sure if I am convinced of it. What's the nature of this partial Gavis? I know, we discussed this last time also, remember? We said that the Nesina were partial Geirus, according to one shot, and then brought a parallel from Mol V'Tavol V'lo, Hevi Karbono, is also partial Geirus, all which still blows his chatten according to one shot. But, what's the nature of this partial Geirus, if this is the third Shita? The nature of the partial Geirus... Rav Lichtenstein in Shirin Ksubas, or in Chaburz in Ksubas, when he learned the third parak, he quoted from the Rav that this is a qualitative half of Geirus. Not just a quantitative, like, we're not sure how good you are. There are two aspects to Geirus. Okay, if there were two aspects, the Rav on many occasions discussed two aspects to Geirus. He discussed terms of other things, and Milut Tefillah, etc. The Rav said two aspects of Geirus are Amech Ami Velokai Chalokai. There is accepting the Torah, and there is being part of Klal Yisrael. Right? If you think about it, what do we tell a guy who wants to convert? Right? We tell him, what's the first thing we tell him? We don't say, oh, it's really hard, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do anything. What's the first thing you tell them? You should know that Jews are hated and they're persecuted and they're reviled, and are you sure you want to be part of them? And if he says, I'm not worthy, then we accept him, and then we tell him a few mitzvahs. So our says there's two aspects to Geirus. Amecha mi v'lokayach lokayach. Becoming part of Klal Yisrael and accepting the mitzvah of the Torah to worship Hashem properly. Not just Shiva mitzvah thing, to worship Hashem properly. Now, the simple pshat is that if you have one aspect without the other, then lo halech, right? But, Rav Lifson quoted, the Rav suggested, what was the problem with the Kutim Geri Arayus? Geri Arayus, they accepted to worship Hashem. The fact they backslid later on back to their idols is psychology. We all backslide after Yom Kippur. But they accepted to worship Hashem, but they never want to become part of Klal Yisrael. The Kutim, they didn't want to become part of the Jewish people. What do you mean? The kingdom of Malchut Yehuda down there? What do we have to do with Malchut Yehuda? We just want to worship God because we see that he really runs the world because he set the lines to us, and our idols don't really run the world. Right? Yeah, but they don't want to become part of Klal Yisrael. So the Rav says, that's why. Hold on. If they accept to worship God but not become part of Klal Yisrael, then they get half a Geirus. They are chayv in the mitzvahs to worship God, but they're not part of Klal Yisrael. They're usher lovav v'kahal. That's how I heard the Lichtenstein quoted from the Rav. The Rav says, you have the aspect of avodas Hashem without the aspect of joining the Am, and therefore it makes a lot of sense that where do they end up? They have to keep the Torah, they have to keep the mitzvos, but they're not allowed to marry into Am Yisrael. And therefore, it's mistaber, therefore, chayavim b'mitzvos v'asurim lavo b'kahal. That's how the Rav understood this. If you... sorry. If you look at the Ravid, the Ravid's not talking about Kutim. The Ravid from last time, he first starts talking Geri Arayus, and then he leaves that for a second and comes back to this. He talks more about how there's still a Dugin Lav Rezara, meaning their acceptance was not 100%. More of a quantitative problem. Their commitment was not so strong. So, now, again, the Ravid was talking about the Sinim, not about about Kutim. The Meiri. Who was here last year when someone did such a nice thing with this COVID portion? Not that I'm dropping any hints. The Meiri here just speaks very shortly. He says, like the Avraham, like we don't say Rashi, they still have an Ishalos Chatzimbam, but they're Chayiv in, in mitzvos, but they, he's not so explicit, but I guess based on the, based on the Ravid, I think we can say, another derech, I think the Rav is very beautiful. Just the Ravid doesn't focus on that way, and the Geri Arayus is a little tricky. What does Geri Arayus mean? Geri Arayus means they didn't want to become Klal Yisrael just to serve Hashem. The Pashup Shad, I thought, and this is a parallel to the Ravid, is just that it's a quantitative, quantitative failing, or flaw, right? That their commitment was not so deep. Yes, they converted. Yes, they accepted the Torah, but they only accepted the Torah under compulsion in order to get away from the Arayos. So, a quantitative flaw, their commitment is not deep, and therefore, what happens if their commitment's not deep? They have their chayav in mitzvos. They did join the Jewish people, but we don't want them taking over right? We don't want them being the ikar of the Jewish people, being bubba bakal, because since their commitment's not so deep, so what'll happen? They'll take over the whole Jewish people, and they'll water us all down, and we'll all end up being over there with Zara. So therefore, it's like we don't trust them yet until, we don't trust them until they're remagayer with a better commitment, and therefore, we don't want them becoming the ikar of Klal Yisrael. We don't want them inter with Oschat and Bum. Why? We know. The Karelacha, Zuchel Ehem, Veshte, right, Ve'achal Tamizavcho,
who's the
we? What? The Torah. The Torah doesn't want them influence us to Ovid Avodah Zarah. The commitment is not so deep. So therefore, they are chayav in mitzvos, but not trusted lavo bekahal, because we'll just end up assimilating into them and worshiping Avodah Zarah. Okay, so you can have two ways of understanding this pshat of Rashi. I really think there's a right pshat of Rashi. So does the Rav, that is like the Meiri and the Yad Ramah based on the Rashi and Yavamos. It's too much of a coincidence that Rashi here says Geirei Arayos get a knas, and Rashi and Yavamos says Geirei Arayos are real Jews. No, according to Chassam Sofer, those two Rashi's are unrelated. I don't know what he says with the Rashi and Yavamos. Maybe see his Pirush and Yavamos. I think it's partially related, just there are two ways to understand it. Either it's a quantitative failing, they're not so sincere. Therefore, they're chayiv in mitzvos, but we don't intermarry with them because we don't trust them to stay on the derech, and we don't want them to bring us off the derech. Or maybe, according to the Rav, more fancier pshat, it's a qualitative distinction. They accepted Hashem, but didn't want to be part of the Jewish people. Therefore, they're with us for Avodas Hashem, but not to be part of the destiny of our people.
So let the book how me, even with the Evan, but they had a deal with the Jew, and there was a Kiddushin.
Kiddushin are Tofsin. No, Kiddushin are Tofsin, but it's a lav. It's like Mamzeres and Eish Yisachiv.
Kiddushin are Tofsin. They have someone does with two Adim, etc.
Kiddushin are Tofsin. Just like all Chayvi Lavin. No, according to my number, that's Begay Rusan, Kiddushin are Tofsin. That's
like,
but remember the Goren Yevamos, whether it's Begay Rusan or Begay Yusan. Begay Rusan, Kiddushin are Tofsin. Like, for example, the Tosos said in the first Tosos, it's a Kanani who converted has Lo Schatim Bum to Kiddushin are Tofsin.
I haven't think okay. About me here, because Tosos brings down that one of the problems is because there were a whole group. What if you had an individual who did this? You'd have less of a reason to...
Quite possibly. Right, in terms of how far we extend that, right? Meaning, the Nafkamim between these two would be, what about nowadays? What about Adrabban? There are a lot of people whose gavers, their sincerity could be questioned, but they very much want to be part of the Jewish people. According to the Rav, there might be many ways to analyze that, but they wouldn't be like Kutubish. Right? According to the other pshat I want to say, based on the peril to the Rav and based on the Pasha pshat in Gabriel Arayus, it's a lack of sincerity, then they might be like Kutim. So that's a very good aura. Okay. I think that's the basics of fundamentals of different types of Geiros that we find from the Sinim, and in parallel we find from Kutim, and the Me'iri actually carries that through. He said the same shot by the Sinim was a partial Geiros that's all those Chatimam, and the same shot by Kutim. Now we're ready to go on to the next Tosos, or the next one Tosos, Yal Ishas Machin. Right, now here Tosos has a very complicated Polish question. Here is Rav Berg Yishami. First, he starts with the technical point. Eish Achel Yivami Yilav Skuka says, what's the problem with Eish Achel? It's a mitzvah to marry Eish Achel. Zivama. So he says, okay, well, either it's Eish Achel, meaning it's clearly not Eishes Achiv when she's still married to your brother. Because then she's Eishes Ish, and there's a Fiyad Misa, and Fiyad Rabbi, and Yom Peknas. It's obviously Eishes Achiv's widow. So the answer is very Pashut. Widow with kids. Or Tosos says, she's a Grusha. That's not so hard. The next question is more complicated. Ask Tosos, V'kasha l'bi b'ravram, l'ra papa, d'mok yachos season food to bear so rare, imitz or mora, papa says, our mission is talking about pitoy and not onus. Why? For very complicated reasons there. The Gemara there talks about, we'll get into that a little later, Mirtz Hashem, but the Gemara there talks about kinlan rab mine, not because of what onus you're chayiv, but because of the din of rodif. If someone's a rodif and they could be killed on the spot, then they're putter for money because the kinlan rab mine. So he says, anyone who's running after a chayiv krisus, to be ma'anish them as a rodef, and you can kill them on the spot, so shouldn't they be potter from Knas? So our Papa answers very simply, he says, no, our mission is not talking about onus, our mission is talking about fata. Onus, this is a din of rodef. Right, if someone runs after the arayus, then you can kill him on the spot. But mefata, there's no din of rodef. Someone sweet talks arayus into sleeping with him, then whatever, that's the problem of the two of them. You certainly can't kill him if she's agreeing. So he says, talking about mefuta, what's the problem then? This creates an indirect problem. He asks Tosos, Tikshid, Hechemos, Okme, Yahachi, Ha, Nitzarsim, Nitzgarsha, Knos, Lassius, hold it. Ashes Achiv obviously has to be divorced or widowed, same thing. Right? To be Ashes Achiv, she has to be married once. Once she's married and divorced or widowed, now, the Gemara quotes later, from Rav Yossi Aglili, Gemara quotes from Yossi Aglili, sorry. Rav Yossi Aglili says, if she was married once, the Knas doesn't go to her father anymore, it goes to her. Now the problem is, the Knas goes to her, and she's Mefuta, then she agreed. If the Knas is hers and she agreed, she was Mochel the Knas. Why should she get a Knas? So Tosus answer, well, tries to answer. Tosus asks, Kinarminim the Gemara, over Reishin Arim, Shem the Redaita Abda. And maybe the answer is okay. Our Mishnah holds that Rabbi Akiva is in a brisa later that even after a woman was nisarsa and divorced or widowed, the knas still goes to the father. And fine, Eishes Achiv, she used to be married to his brother. She was divorced or widowed. The knas still goes to the father. And even though she agreed, the father didn't agree, so he still has to pay knas. Im Kenek, how do you think usually safe for the Ketani? The real kasha is on the Mishnah later on, not here. Really, Tosafot belongs there. Habal Bito Potter, she can come to Ramine, says if someone is Baal Bito, he's Potter because of come to Ramine, since he's Chayiv Misa, he's Potter from Mammon. What's the implication? The implication was if not for come to Ramine, he'd be Chayiv Mammon. So what's the problem? The problem is tabulated Knasala Viyahabi. Dila Atma Tikshile Demachla. When we Manashach Tikshi Seifa, that's also the problem. Manashach Tikshi Seifa, Baal Bito is me Manashach problematic. Let's just review why this is Mimanasha problematic. This is only if you say like for Pup in Sanhedrin, right? What do the Gemara say? The Mishnah says Ba Albito, right? And according to our Papa, it's the Pitoi, right? Rav Papa says it's mefate, it's not ones, right? What's the din of Baal Bito? Mefate says would be chayav, but come lay bidarava mine, meaning he's potter because he was chayav benafsho, but theoretically would be chayav. The question is why theoretically would he be chayav? Right? Why would he be chayiv? Tosa says, mimanashach. If you want to say that, but there's only two cases. The knas goes to the girl or the knas goes to the father, right? There's no third case. So, now if you want, you can make the okemta. Ah, she was betrothed and divorced, then the knas goes to her. You can make whatever okemta you want. But mimanashach. If the knas goes to the father, then he's potter, because, exactly, because it goes to himself, and you don't need kin legrav mine. And if you want to say, no, the knas goes to the girl, right? You want to say, it's arsa v'nisgarsha, and it's, according to Rav Yossi Aglili, that the knas goes to the girl, whatever the case may be, if the knas goes to the girl, then he's potter, because since it's mefate, because, exactly, she was mochel. Mochel is technically, she was mochel because she agreed. That's mefate means. Mefate means she agreed. Right? Otherwise it would be onus. Right? Because she was mochel, because she agreed. So that's where Tosfos is stuck. That's the mud of shach. He can't make sense of this Baal Bito. The Mishnah says Baal Bito is potter because of come with Rabbine. Or Lashon, Mishnah doesn't have Lashon come with Rabbine. Mishnah Lashon, Veshem, Schaib, Benafsha. But no, she's potter for another reason. If the money goes to him, he's potter because it's himself. If the money goes to her, he's potter because she was mochel. Now, we're not going to fully answer this question now. This can depend on a lot of hakiras that are going to pervade the perek. But what does, what does Tosa suggest here to perhaps help us on the way to thinking of an answer? What does Tosos suggest? Well, says Tosos, I said suggest.
Yerushalmi?
Umi ubi Yerushalmi mokilak shabala achelo meis umeis vuhudin achelo bagra ubagra. Okay, so first he has Yerushalmi. Bala achelo meis umeis bala achelo bagra ubagra. What are the answers? So one answer is one that Ba'aleha ad shalo mace bagra, we can ad shalo mace or bagra, two different people, either while he was alive and then he died, or while she was still 12 and a quarter and then she became 12 and a half, meaning at the time the money went to him. So her mechila was not valid. Now, one could question this answer. We're just not going to question this answer yet. At the time the money went to him, so her mechila was not valid. There, mace or bagra. I know there's a lot to question about this. We're just not going to question this now. Meaning, mace or bagra. And then later, the money transferred to her, so he would have to pay, if not for Kamlei Bidirabba Mine. Okay, that's one answer. That's also quotes. Anyone want to answer if that's a possibility or not? Who says that? Maybe she's moch on the be'ilah, but not on the money. On this Makoros sheet, yeah, I think who said it is the Tosos Rosh. It's also in Tosos on the Daf, it's not Hedra. Right? So that's another answer. Great. Another answer is the Tosos Rosh in Ksubos. And the Tosos on the Daf in Sanhedrin there, Daf Ayin Gimel, wherever he quotes the Rav Papa from, right? Ayin Dalel and Aleph, I think that's Ayin Gimel and Beis, whatever. Says, no, different Okinta, where she specified that she allowed the Bia, but was not Mochel the Knas. Okay, so I'm going to say maybe she doesn't have to specify. But it's weird. She says, you know what, fine, I give in, but don't think I'm giving up my rights. You nudge me so much, I just can't take this nudging anymore. Fine, whatever you want, but you're going to pay for it in court. Okay, could happen. Maybe that's the Okinta.
On the first answer, so wouldn't it be putter, because when it goes to the father again, it goes back to himself, so it wouldn't be... Even though she can't be mochel on it, but isn't it putter right then?
Aha, okay. So that's why I said there's a lot of assumptions in there. There's a lot of assumptions, meaning, since at first it goes to the father, her mechila is not valid, even though it ends up going to her, and also, even though it at first goes to the father, it doesn't cancel itself out yet until Hamad Medin. So you're right, there's a lot of assumptions here, we're going to have to come back to them. This toast is really packed, it's the whole, half the parak. Okay, and obviously the Okimta would be that the Knas goes to herself, and the Knas goes to the girl. Right, you have to have an okimta, the class goes to the girl, maybe she's in the Saris or in the Sgarsha, whatever the case may be, and, oh, was she mochel, she's in the futa? No, she said, see you in court. Said, fine, have your way, see you in court. Tosos quotes from the Yerushalmi, a third possibility. Says Tosos, umiyubi Yerushalmi mochelak shabal achlo meis, Tosos says, no problem answer. According to the Yerushalmi, There is no mechila in knas. No. Mefateh is only potter from boshes upagam, meaning if it goes to herself. She could be boshes upagam is mum, not knas. Mum means the actual damages, right? Knas is just a exerts a cost of penalty. So the Yerushalmi says that we know knas is different in many ways than mum. What's the main way in which knas is different than mum? It's kavua, okay. That's knas, modem knas pater, right? Mamon, a recompensing the damages I did you, is modem mamon is chayev. That's called hodas malden kameidim dummy. Knas means a kavua amount, or not always kavua, but an extra amount that the Torah commands me to pay. That's not the amount I damaged you, such as our knas of chamishim slaim. Modem knas is pater. Asher yashion Elohim yishalim shlaim reihu. So we know knas is different than mamon. So the Yerushalmi says, you can't be mochel knas. If you can't be mochel knas, then it makes sense. That answers the problem. The knas goes to the girl, and even though she was mochel, she can only mochel the mamon, the boshel knas. She can't be mochel the knas. Right? Keep in mind here, the knas is not a payment for damages done, as the Chinuch asks in Parshat Mishpatim. He says, what do you mean? The whole girl's honor is sold for 50 slayim, no matter who she is, and that's all she gets? And the Chinuch says, no. She gets boshes, supagam, and tsar, whatever damage was done, she gets paid. The knas is besides the damage that was done. It's like kefal. Besides the damage that was done, she also gets knas. Okay. Whether that's really true in the strictest sense or not, we'll come back to. But that's certainly true on some level. Okay, you can't be mochel knas. However, says Tosfos, Omiyu b'shas v'don in the Bavli mashon de'ein la'afilu knas, that a mefuta is also mochelus on her knas. Demoki hadei lo'kalakim l'cham l'kam v'gmar d'aflam v'peiz v'yisoma mefuta she'ein la'knas. Says Tosfos, this is what Tosfos says. But l'fi Bavli you can be mochel knas. So Tosfos here has a very, very fundamental machlok in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, whether you can be mochel knas or whether you can't be mochel knas. Because according to the Yerushalmi, it's pasha why she has the bal mito theoretically as a knas. Just make the okimta, right? That the knas would go to the girl. It's a case where she gets her own knas. Maybe she's in this arsim and this garsha, whatever the case may be, she gets her own knas. And even though she agreed, there is no such thing as mechila knas. Mechila only works for mamon, not for knas. However, that answer doesn't work for the Bavli, because the Bavli says explicitly mechila does work for knas, says later on. It was a yesoma, meaning she has no father. Not that he's involved in a different case. Mefuta, she is the knas herself when she was seduced. And therefore, she's mochelos the knas. Now, this is what I want to talk about for a few moments. Now, even though there's many interesting parts of this Tosfos, and I almost promise you that we will get to all of them in great depth, in at least enough depth. This is a very, very famous Tosfos, especially in light of the Lashon of Yerushalmi. If you look at the Lashon of Yerushalmi, it's 99% Mefurish right here in the one on the Mishnah of Baal Bito. On the Mishnah of Knasa La'atzma, on the mission of Knasa La'atzma, and if you add in the Yerushalmi in the beginning of the fourth parak, which is in brackets, is very mefurish. The Yerushalmi, first of all, is the Yerushalmi as pashut as Tosfos makes it out to be? Does the Yerushalmi say there's no mechila on knas? Well, it seems to. What does the Yerushalmi say? It's right here on the sheet. It's really, this part starts on the middle of the fourth line. V'yesha ne'mochel dor she'eino b'rshuso. Could you be mochel something you don't own yet? Meaning, how she be mochel knas? She doesn't own it yet. What does that mean, you don't own it yet? What's Yerushalmi trying to say here? You can't be mochel knas, why not? Because you don't own it yet. Why don't you own it yet?
Because you haven't yet.
Wasn't it
for you
yet?
So why can't she be mochel boshes b'gam, the mamon? So apparently Yerushalmi is saying that mamon, when are you owed the money? The mamon, boshes b'gam, you know, other mamon? At the time of the hezek. When are you owed knas? You're not owed the knas at the time of the hezek. At the time of Hamad Abedin. Apparently Yerushalmi here is saying, alumdus, why is it that you can't be mochel knas? Because you don't own the Knas yet. What's the moment in Knas? Now, you could have taken this different ways. You could have said that in the Mammon and Knas, like Zeres Kasa of, you know, Modu Knas Potter. So no. Mammon is, in the end, your owed Mammon, your owed Knas. After a mother did. Right? But Mammon, you are owed because the damage is done to recompense you. You're owed that right away. You might be able to prove it. You might not. You might win in court. You might lose in court. Sometimes I really deserve money and I could lose in court because I don't have good proof for it because the other guy's a better lawyer. But Knas, you're not owed the Knas. It's Asher Yarshiun Elohim Yishlem Shnayim L'Re'ehu. The Beis Din creates the Knas. B'Shas Amad V'Din. Beis Din creates the Knas, and now I'm owed the Knas. But until then, I'm not owed the Knas. It doesn't exist yet, so I can't be mochel something that doesn't exist yet. Right? Tomorrow there'll be Hamad V'Din, but I can't be mochel now, something that won't exist till tomorrow. That's what the Yerushalmi says. And then the Yerushalmi just adds, Nishmeina bin Adah, Demar Rabbi Bon, Barchi of Shem Rabzeir, Knas, Ein Bo Mishar Rishona. You don't, you are not owed the Knas from the beginning, from the Shas Maisa. Ein Bo Mishar Rishona. Therefore, there's nothing you can be mochel. Zanin Tam, Umd bin Eshel Mesa, Via Rishal Av, Mesa Rishal Ach, and Omra Knas, Kane Mishar Rishona, Rishal Ach, Mishar Rishona. Okay, we'll get back to that on Daf Lamaches and on Daf Membeis, etc. Okay, Rava, that is Rav Shemar Chesam Boshu Begam. The that really she can't be mochel the Knas. What can she be mochel Boshu Begam? But she can't be mochel the Knas. That's the Yerushalmi that Tosos is quoting. Adonis Sisid Rabbi Mana Amar Mahu Onus Chayv Bekol Mfata Potter Mina Kol Rabbi Av and Amar Shamai Boy Mahu Ha Onus Chayv Mfata Potter Onus Chayv Bekol Mfata Potter Mina Boshu Mina Begam Bechayav Beknas. Okay, this is like Rabbi Ovin, in the name of whoever, which Shammai this is, Shammai Boy, that she can't be mochel the Knas. However, this is only one day in the Yerushalmi. There's another day in the Yerushalmi of Mana here who says, Mefukta is Potter Menakol. Mefata is Potter Menakol. What does that other day in the Yerushalmi say, Rabbi Mana? He apparently thinks you can be mochel the Knas. Why is that? So to understand that other day in the Yerushalmi, you need to look at the Lashon of the Yerushalmi in the fourth parak, who actually says there's a machlokes amoraim about the nature of Knas. I'll just read you this important, the main Lashon, very quickly. If I can find it, give me a second. Knas amosayhu meschayev, Rabbi Yonah amishor rishona, Rabbi Yossi amar basof. Okay, it's pretty explicit. The Yerushalmi is ta'ak has machlokes about this. Are you chayev knas mishar rishona, or are you chayev knas basof? So this seems to be a machlokus in the Yerushalmi about the nature of knas. What is machayev you knas? Is the maisa machayev you knas mishar rishona? Just there are certain rules about how you can be potter from knas, etc. Or is the, you know, you're chayev knas mishar rishona, but there are special standards about how to prove that you're chayev in knas and when you're potter, when you're chayev. Or no? You're not chayav anything mishar rishona. Knas is not something which flows from your actions. Knas is something which flows from the maisa bezdin, from the gzeira of bezdin. The Yerushalmi here is actually, it's like a brisker Yerushalmi here, right? Doesn't leave anything for the briskers to fill in hardly. What's the machlokes in Yerushalmi between Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi? I just forgot who said which. Rabbi Yonah said mishar rishona. Mishah Rishona. Rabbi Yossi says, Measof. Basof. Sorry. Basof, and it's clear what sof means. Bashas Hamada Bedin. Right? So, that's, is Knas fundamentally like Mamon? It's something that's created by your actions. However, there are special standards for establishing it, or for exempting yourself from it, or no. A Knas is unlike Mammon Legamre. Mammon is something that flows from your actions. Knas is something which is created by the Beis Din. And the Yerushalmi in Perek Gimel implies very strongly that the Nafgamina would be Mechila. Right? Because even though they don't use the Lashon Basof there, they do use the Lashon Mishar Rishona, so Lachor is the same it's the same machlokes. Here is Rabbi Ovin, who says that Mechila works by Knas. And here you have, wrong way around. Who sees my eraser? Rav Ovin says, there's no Mechila. Have you been Mechila Knas? You don't have it yet. You don't have it before Amad B'din. Have you been Mechila Knas? It's not there to be Mechila. After Amad B'din is a different story. But Bishap, Mefuteh, she only agreed before Amad B'din. The time she gets to Amad B'din, someone will give her good advice to not be Mechila. Right? She agreed at the time. She was Mechila Bosh Shepagam. It's not that she wasn't Mechila. She was Mechila Bosh Shepagam. But she can't be Mechila Knas because it doesn't exist yet to be Mechila. As opposed to Rav Mana, who says, Mechila works for Knas. And Tosfos adds, Tosfos only quotes one side of Yerushalmi. For whatever reason, I'm not sure. If you have the Yerushalmi, or just have a partial text of the Yerushalmi. And Tosfos adds that the Bavli in Daflam and Bezim and Aleph in a few places, but in Daflam and Bezim and Aleph, one of them says, Yisoma Mefuta Ein Laknas. Okay? It says right there, Mefuta Ein Laknas. So Tosfos says that there's no Knas. Tosfos says, according to the Bavli, Ein Laknas. Tosfos says, according to the Bavli, Mechila does work. Mechila works for Knas. Okay, is that so pashut that it's proven in the Bible that Mechila works for Knas? So if you got a chance to look at some of them, we've shown them in brackets, you'll see it's not so pashut. There are really three places in our parak that sound that way, but none of them are total proofs. Particularly if you look in the Ramban, Rashba, or Ritva, and Dachlam, and Bezim, and Aleph, on the line Tosfos quotes said, a Mefuta doesn't have a Knas. The force there, Mefuta doesn't have a Knas, that because she's Mochelis the Knas, the Ritva quoted a Gersa the Gaonim, and the Ramban, all the Rishonim Sfarad quoted Gersa the Gaonim, who's saying no, it's a different case, because they, very complicated, I'm not going to get into it yet, we'll get there. It's Mefuta Shota, they say, and they say really the reason there's no Knas there is because it's the Shita of not the Rabbi Akiva de Brisa that we mentioned, but the Rabbi Yosef Glili rather, the Rabbi Yosef Glili there, not the Rabbi Yosef, the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yosef Glili says Ein Laknas. It was done that a Nisarsa Nisgarsha who does, or sorry, somebody Yisoma. The man never says a Yisoma doesn't have a Knas. Okay, that's what he quotes from the he quotes there from the Gersa Larach. I'll read it to you because I'm reading from the Ramban, but the old Rishonim Sfarad say the same thing. And he says, they say the name of Rav Haigon, Rav Shmuel, and Rav Shmuel Hanagid, they say that it means Narish and Isarsim, and Isgarsha ain't like Naskrib Yosef Glili. Okay, that really, it's not. They don't necessarily say the opposite of Tosfos. They just take away the proof. It's not really Muchrach in the Bavli, because Tosfos' main proof, Lam Beis Mal, says, Yisoma Mefuta doesn't have a Knas. But the Rishonai Sfarad quote from the Gaonim there, that it's not that she doesn't have a Knas because of Mechila. She doesn't have a Knas because she's Nisarsa, Minisgarsha. So there's another way to read that Gemara Daflam Beis, which if you follow the brackets on the Makor sheet, you will see. So it's not so proven, but most Rishonim agree that this is Shad in the Bavli. Now let's just briefly mention, if we do have this fundamental Hakira about Knas, which...
Why didn't Tosfos bring the Gemara Nevim and Aleph?
That is an excellent question.
He brought it earlier.
Because he did bring it earlier. The only thing I could think of is because if Tosfos might have known if Tosfos might have known the Yerushalmi is one day, that the potter there is only from Bosh Shabagam, not from Knas. So maybe Tosfos thought that wasn't as good of a proof. Because you could say potter is only Bosh Shabagam, not from Knas. So maybe that's the reason. Some other classic nafkaminas, this hakir about the nature of Knas. So I mentioned here, the most obvious one is just, the whether it's Kal in the beginning or whether it's only created by Bez Din, is for this case of who owns the Knas in between. What's the Nafkamina? Who owns the Knas in between? In the end, it gets paid. So we have that Nafkamina, particularly by the case of Shein Ba'ayin. Right? What if, there's a whole drusha, the Gemara makes a drusha, right? If I knock out my Evet Ayin or Shein, he goes free. That's a Knas. Why is that a Knas? Because not the amount of damage I did. What if I knock out his eye and his tooth? So the answer is he goes free for the first, and I pay for the second. So then the question is exactly what's the case? Right, if I knock out his eye and his tooth. So the Rashba here says, I brought down two Rashbas here. He says, what do we see from here? The Rashba in Bava Kamma says, Kol Shabo, basically says, Kol Shabo Eden Vasof, Nimtza Ben Chorin Limafreya, Elishig Zerisakosav, Ishalo, Lohotzi, Lacheris, Al Yadei, Eden. Says, when it comes to the Knas of Elun Naros, that's, he can't be Morris Labanov. Okay, we'll come back to that sugya at great length. We're not going to get into the bottom of everything here because the sugya is throughout the parak. But what is the question is, when, let's take this example, when does the Eved go free? So the Rashba in Bava Kamma and the Rashba in Gittin in his main daya assumes the Eved goes free, Mishas Maisa, not Mishas Amad B'Din. Right, I knock out his tooth at 1 o'clock. I knock out his eye at 1:01. The Hamad Bedin is tomorrow. I still have to pay him for his eye. Why do I have to pay him for his eye? He was my Eved at the time. The answer is no, he was free at the time. You're right, we need Bez Din to be Koveya that, but once they're Koveya, he was free all along because he was free based on the action that I did. Right, that fits very well for Mishar Rishonah. This is the opinion of the Rashba, right? Mishas Maisa. No, Igloinus Lafreya, he was free the whole time. And he was Chayiv Mitzvah, right? There'd be many Nafkaminas. Well, yes.
Sorry, just backtracking for a second. Why should it matter that the Shas is not till Hamad of the Din? So the Mechil would just work at Shas Hamad of the Din?
No, because by the time Hamad of the Din, she didn't want to be Mochel anymore. After all, she's mom in the din, so it's an umdra.
That shouldn't apply, that shouldn't be a general statement about knas. Meaning you should, general.
Right, what I really meant is mechila before Hamad of the din.
No, meaning in cases outside of mfata.
Yeah.
I mean, the question.
Now, you have a case outside of mfata, the same case. I steal your thing. You say, you know what? Just pay me back. I'm mochel the kefil. And then in the end, it doesn't work out. We go to court, and you say, I want the kefil. You would get the case.
Okay,
out.
But there is mechila b'knas. That's very important.
After Hamad b'Din.
Right.
Okay. Then, right.
As opposed to a possibility. I mean, I could definitely see someone holding that there's no mechila b'knas ever.
I hear the taina.
Especially if you hold that the chilut between being chayiv the shas Hamad b'Din versus being chayiv the shas ma'isa is really more reflecting on the nature of the chiyuv.
Okay.
And you understand b'shus on different.
Okay, you're absolutely right. The problem is, I don't think there's such a shita. Meaning, from Shas, it doesn't seem there could be such a shita that even after a month, you can't be mochel. What you have to say is that even if it reflects on some fundamental difference, once there's Hamad of a din, it gets turned into mochel. Meaning, I like the idea, I just don't think it'll work. Now, if you'll ask, really, after Hamad of a din, there's nothing that still retains the original knasiness about it? So the answer is, Yesh Ladun, that's really the Sugyan Dachman days that we will get to Amir Tashem. So we'll leave on the back burner the question of whether Knas after Hamad of Adin, to what extent is there still a uniqueness because it's Knas?
Most of the Knas might not be true after Hamad of Adin.
That's clear. That's Pashut. It's Pashut that 99% of the uniqueness of Knas goes away after Shas Hamad of Adin. Once Hamad of Adin, the Pashut Shad is, once there's Hamad of Adin, I don't care what it was, I don't care the nature of it, now he owes you money, and we don't care about the genesis of that chiyuv anymore. We don't care about the genealogy of that chiyuv. That's the Pashut Shad. Whether there's a Shita otherwise, in the town of Rishum and Daf Membeis, Memal Membeis, we'll come back to. But the Pashut Shad is, once there's Hamad of Adin, Knas just turns into regular Dine Mamonos. That's the Pashup Shat. Yeah, it becomes a chov, which makes sense if you say that, well, the dayanim have to create it, but once they create it, they create it. Okay, but I admit that I'm not going to say everything there is to say about Knasya. Let me just point out that this is not so pashut. The Rashba quotes a yesh omrim, ikalameimar, sorry, that no, this is the, it's really called ikalameimar. Ikalameimar in the Rashba, and what I had in brackets, the Tosos in Baba Kama, both say only Mishas Hamadim Din. What's the case where I have to pay for the eye and the tooth? If I knock out his tooth, then we have Hamadim Din, Bezdin declares him free, and then I knock out his eye. That's what I have to pay for his eye. But if I knock his tooth and eye at the same time, I don't have to pay, because he wasn't free yet. Since when do I have to pay someone who's not a Ben Chorin? So this is the fundamental machlokas, which seems to be enough to me, the same thing here. If it's Mishar Rishona, he's free Meikara. If it's Vasof, then no, Meikara, nothing happens. I don't owe him his freedom because I knocked out his tooth. I mean, morally, philosophically I do, but legally, I owe him his freedom because Bezdin declared him free. Another place where you might see this nafkamina is the fundamental machlokas, which is really later on in our Masechet, and maybe we'll come back to if we have time to be ma'ayin it later in Dafim Aleph, about tfisa. How about tfisa b'knas, right? What if before Hamad b'din, not after Hamad b'din, obviously, if I grabbed him and you owe me, so Bezdin said you owe me. I mean, before, this all means before Hamad b'din, right? What about tfisa before Hamad b'din? So, the Rashi implies, and Mem Aleph Amad Beis, Rashi says, the Gemara says there, Chatzi Nezek Zeknas. We pass in Chatzi Nezek Zeknas. Like Karen, remember Chatzi Nezek from the Chumash Mishpatim? We pass in Zeknas. And Rashi, and the Gemara says, Itofas, Rashi says, Nizak, Mamona, Demazik, Abeknas, the Chatzi Nezgo, the Insarch Litzok, the Faneinu, Lom, Avkinim, Inevi, Gavi, Palgi, Nizka. If you grab it, nowadays you can't collect the Knas because we don't have a real Bezdin. We don't have Smicha anymore. That's a funny thing to say in this context. But we don't have real Doraisa Smicha anymore. So, but if I grab the Knas, I can keep it. So Rashi says, if I grab the Knas, I can keep it. Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos disagrees all over Shas, and says, it's ridiculous. You can't grab Knas. Lo yitachein, how can you grab Knas? Rather, Rabbeinu Tam says that that it only means if you grab the damaging animal itself. There's a special heter that if someone's ox, where's your ox, you can grab the ox itself. But that's not a general rule that you can grab knasos. It's a special rule only if you grab the chefta hamazik. Why that is, I'm not going to explain now. One could take that in multiple directions. But clearly, Rabbeinu Tam thinks the normal rule is that you can't grab the knas. You can't be tofes knas. The Gemara says you can. It only means you can take away the damaging animal. Okay, maybe that's a special takana that since this animal needs to be restrained anyway and shouldn't be allowed to run loose, so therefore you're allowed to take him off the streets. And once you took him off the streets, you can sell him and do what you want with it. But you can't generally grab knas. For example, if the girl grabbed the 50 slim, then she couldn't keep it unless she went to a bezdin with smuchim, with proper edim, etc., and established her case. Well, Rashi sounds like you can grab a knas, even within the shita of. By the way, the Rambam sounds like the same thing. The Rambam says the one I put here from Hilchos Gneiva that if you have a suffik, whether you're chayv kefel, if the guy grabbed it, he can keep it. So this is the general sheet of the Rambam. Who remembers from when did we learn Bava Metzia? 2 years ago? I remember Tukva Kohen, Emot Sinus of Yadav, but also came up this summer, right? Mechoros, obviously. So the Rambam says, whenever it's a suffix, I grab it, I can keep it. The Ravid says to the Rambam, forget the small potatoes of Tukva Kohen suffix. What do you mean grabbing a knas? You don't have a knas until there's Hamad of a din. And if it's a suffix, you obviously can't have Hamad of a din, right? So the Ravid says, what are you talking about? You can't grab knas without Hamad of a din. And the Rambam also says the same thing I should have put on the Makoros. Sanhedrin Perek Hei Alef Yud Zayin says the minhag of the Shtei Yeshivos is that if someone grabs knas, they can keep it. Okay, same thing.
Sanhedrin?
Hei Yud Zayin. So what about Tfisa? So the Rambam thinks that it works. And Rabbeinu Tam thinks that generally Generally, it doesn't work. Yeah, there's an exception, but generally, it doesn't work. Even within Rashi, the Russian Baba Kama quotes Machlokes himself in the Yad Ramah. He said, the Yad Ramah says Tfisa only works by Chatzi Nezek. Why? Because it's a special Tanid Rabbanan, so the poor person is not going to get any of his Nezek. So the Yad Ramah also says, generally, it doesn't work. Rabbi Yatam says, only Tfisas Hamazik works. And the Yad Ramah says, only works Midrabanan for Chatzi Nezek. It's a special Tekun Drabanan, Chatzi Nezek. Why? Because you're not even getting your full Nezek. You should at least get half your Nezek. Even though it's a Knas, Chachamim felt bad for you that you weren't being recompensed. However, one second, the Rosh himself in Baba Kama says no. It works because, he says, what do you mean you owe the money? It works because you owe the money. Says the Russian in Baba Kama. I think we will have to take a break in the middle of the sugya. But if I can just find one nice line from the Rush to read to you. Says the Rush, Eladina hu d'mido raisa mechayiv le, el she'en lo dayin she'yakufu liten lo. Well, that is a great line. What does he say? Sorry? Dina hu d'mid oraisa mechayav ela she'en dayon bebabel. By bebabel he means without smicha d'oraisa. Nowadays you all live in Babel. Even in Yerushalayim we're in Babel in this respect. We don't smicha d'oraisa. She'yakuf oso litinlo. Yeah, we can't actually execute the din, because to execute the din of Knas, you need a proper Beis Din. But your Chayav Midoraisa, the Lashon of the verse is very explicit, your Chayav Midoraisa, it's a din Doraisa that you're Chayav. We just don't have the kind of judges or authorized to judge those kind of things. But you're still Chayav, so we don't have to tell you who are authorized to judge it. But if you do the judge, take the law into your own hands and take it, you took something you had a right to. That would fit with the Rambam. That might be what Rashi means. We're not sure. I'm not sure if Rashi is like the Yad Ramah or like the Rush. Rashi has a question mark. Does he mean like the Rush or like the Yad Ramah? Like the Yad Ramah is only if the Kana Bechati Nezek. Anyway, here we have a fundamental machlokas, which seems to be the same thing. The Yad Ramah and the Rebbe Tam would say, what do you mean? Without a Beis Din, there is no Knas. It doesn't exist without a Beis Din. It says you can grab. That's a limited exception. Only you can grab the Chatz HaMazik or only the Chatz HaNezek because Chazal felt bad for you. While the Rush says no, it's a din d'oraisa that you're chayav. Technically, if you want to bring it to court, we don't have the right kind of judges to judge it. I understand there are technical problems bringing it to court, but the chayav exists in the d'oraisa. Therefore, if you grab it, good for you. You grab what you deserved. We just have limited powers to enforce it. And the Rambam might agree, because the Rambam also holds across the board that Tfisa works by Knossos. So this might be arguing this fundamental machlokas. We'll just have to finish up this idea briefly next time, Amir Tzashem, and then continue into the Gemara of the very challenging, fascinating Shita of Rav Meir, that B'makom Sheish Mecher Ein Knas, B'makom Sheish Knas Ein Mecher, and we'll meet again on Thursday, where I'm going to be. What's today?
Today's Monday, so tomorrow.
Yeah. So, Thursday, where I'll be forced to do something I don't normally like to do, but I might have to speculate a little and say things that are not mefurish in the Mekoros in order to try and understand what's going on in Rav Meir and the Chachamim there. In which case, I might tell the truth or I might lie. But you will have to be the judge of that, Mirtzah Shem.